Hi, everybody. It's Barry here again from Turning the Page. And I just want to say just a big thank you for spending the time with me discussing some things. And today's topic is about measuring spiritual growth and formation. And I well remember going and seeing a counseling friend of mine, and he gave me an answer that I really wasn't actually expecting. But when I dug into it, I could see his wisdom, and I was talking to him and I asked him, how do we know if we're growing spiritually or not? And because it's kind of, how do you really know? There isn't any objective measuring tool, is there, where we can say that we've moved 5 points ahead or back. And really, if there was, it could really open us up to feelings of pride or failure. And what he said to me was along the lines of this. I can't remember exactly, but this is what he said. How well are you relating to those closest to you? He conjectured that if we were growing spiritually, then this would be seen in how we relate to others. We could pull this apart, because relationships are a two-way street, and some people are plain dangerous to be open and intimate with, and they will take advantage, abuse, and possibly try to squash your faith. We all have a journey to take. But I could see where he was coming from. He was looking at how the three members of the Trinity loved and served each other, a kind of self-sacrificial love between each of them, where each tries to outdo the other in overflowing love, like I'm going to love you more, and no, I'm going to love you more, and no, I'm going to love you more. It's sort of like trying to outdo each other in love. And spiritual growth and formation, I believe, is a movement to that kind of intimacy and love. And if those people closest to me, those who see me at my best and my worst, can say that there is some sense of overflowing faith, hope, and love coming from within me, then maybe some of that perichoresis, that's a big fancy word, which I'll discuss soon, that perichoretic dance has filtered into my movement. And this word perichoresis, it's from the Greek, and it means to rotate, to be moving. And there's a term referred to the relationship of the three persons of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and their relationship to each other. And if you look down in the little other way, can't do it that way. Down there, there's my little logo symbol of Turning the Page, which has got four sort of spirals, and how they intermix. And the way I look at that is like as Father, Mother, Spirit, and Jesus, and myself, sort of in a dance together. And that's how I see our spirituality. But relationships are tricky, aren't they? And we want to give the very best to the other, but we also want and need things from others, certain things such as love and respect. None of us love with perfection. We can be like, as Dr. Larry Crabb says, two ticks with no dogs. And I love this quote. He says that a marriage bound together by commitments to exploit the other, fulfilling one's own needs, and I fear that most marriages are built on such a basis, can legitimately be described as a tick on a dog relationship. Just as a hungry tick clamps onto a nourishing host in anticipation of a feast, of a meal, so each partner unites with the other in the expectation of finding what his or her personal nature demands. The rather frustrating dilemma, he says, is that in such marriage, there are two ticks and no dog. And so what he's saying is that we often go into relationships, probably on a subconscious way, of looking to the other person to meet our needs, much like a tick does with it. It's an awful picture, but it's actually quite a powerful picture. For much of my life, I have considered that my spiritual life was measured by what I do. Things like personal devotional life, reading the Bible, prayer, scripture, memorization, meditation, and church attendance and serving. and giving to the poor and needy. And these all could be measured and maybe make a judgment on other people about how well they're doing in their spiritual life. And all those are good activities to do, but it feels more like a religion of doing than a relationship of being. And any step away from these, and you're seen as backsliding, and you need to repent and try harder. And for some churches, it might be a visit from the elders or the pastor just to pull you into line. I don't know. But so often, it can feel like you're the dog, and others, individuals and organizations, are the ticks sucking the life out of you. They have a wonderful plan for your life. That seems to be subtly also includes sucking the life out of you. Look, I have limits as to how much love I can give to others. And this old dog has only so much blood and life from which others can draw life from. Paul, in a little section of the letter to the Romans, he talks about living with difficult people. You don't have any difficult people, do you? No. But he says, if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Romans 12:18. And in these words, he says that it's not always going to be possible to live at peace with everyone. That you can only do so much that you have the limits in your capability. You know, we're not an endless... We can't just endlessly have people drawing off us all the time. You won't be able to meet everyone's needs. And you may know this logically in your head, but it's actually what your heart needs to hear. And when I sense the demand of a tick or someone who wants to draw life out of me, the desire to meet a need that was never mine to meet, then I have to gently point them to an overflowing well of nourishment. And I reflect on the story of Jesus and how he met with Peter and Andrew. And this is from Matthew 4:18. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net out into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Here were some ticks. People, much like ourselves, with hungry, needy hearts, and they had a desire for long, deep draughts of love and respect, and which we all actually do. May not be aware of it, but we actually do. Jesus comes, shows love and respect for them by, first of all, speaking in the context of fishing. You know, these guys, that was the way they thought about things. That was their language. So they drop their nets and they follow. They have found the well from which to draw on. Something like, this is the one. And formation becomes natural as they model themselves off the Christ. And I like to think of them just picking it up, like, as they walk and they talk and they, something just starts to happen and change inside them. You know, I would love to be able to hang out with Jesus, much like those early fishermen, tax collectors, and other waywards. You know, I know it would probably wreck my life and possibly those around me, throw everything even into further confusion, and then hopefully have it settled into something new. And Jesus has a habit of doing it that way. How would I measure spiritual growth and development? Well, I like the idea of a relationality. It's got its merits. That is, you know, that is where God does his finest work. But I also like to know if there is a growing fruitfulness in my life at a relational level, that there is some evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. And Galatians talks about different fruit as a natural outcome of living a spirit-filled life. And this I've sort of adapted the Message version of it. And things like affection for others, which is love, exuberance about life, serenity, a willingness to stick with things a sense of compassion in the heart and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. An involvement in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life. An ability to marshal and direct our energies wisely. That's Galatians 5:22-24. Maybe I would also like to know if there is a growing sense of grace towards yourself and others. All of this is highly subjective and I can't put a measure or anything to it. Only God knows the heart. And let's leave it with that. Mental health, I believe, is having a spiritual journey, formation journey, that grows and develops. It overflows and touches the lives of others with faith, hope, and love. Here's some quotes for you to consider. Andre Nguyen, being is more important than doing. The heart is more important than the mind, and caring together is better than caring alone. And I've got to have C.S. Lewis, and this is a real challenging one. The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christ. Now think about that. The church exists for nothing else but to make us into little Christs. If they, the church, are not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose. It is even doubtful you know whether the whole universe was created for any other purpose. C.S. Lewis. And David Benner says that spiritual growth begins with the easily overlooked disciplines of attentiveness and surrender. Questions. How would you measure one's spiritual formation and growth? Two, what relational qualities would you want Jesus to mentor you in? And number three, Jesus used the language and context of fishing to Peter and his brother. They were fishermen. What language and context would Jesus use with you if he walked up to you today? Hey, I hope you found this really helpful and challenging and possibly may have wrecked your world. But hey, I'd love to know and I'd love to hear from you and comment back to me. Email me, barry@turningthepage.co.nz, and let's get a conversation going about how we measure each other's spiritual growth. I think it's an important topic. And if you'd like to support what I'm doing here, I just really appreciate all the support. You can buy me a coffee. Come over to the website at turningthepage.co.nz/support, and all your little contributions help to pay for things like this app called StreamYard, which enables me to stream videos to you, to Periscope, and to do my podcasting. So, and that costs a little bit of money. And so any contributions to help, that's really appreciated. Okay. Hey, thanks very much. And we'll catch up with you next week and look forward to hearing from you. Barry@turningthepage.co.nz. Okay. Thanks. Bye.